Our scripture reading this morning from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. Every year, Jesus' parents traveled to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as they always did for the feast. And when it was over and they left for home, the child Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it, thinking he was somewhere in the company of pilgrims. They journeyed for a whole day and then began looking for him among relatives and neighbors. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem looking for him. And the next day they found him in the temple, seated among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. The teachers were all quite taken with him, impressed with the sharpness of his answers. But his parents were not impressed. They were upset and hurt. His mother said, "Young man, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been half out of our minds looking for you." He said, "Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that I had to be here dealing with the things of my father?" But they had no idea what he was talking about. So he went back to Nazareth with them and lived obediently with them. His mother held these things dearly, deep within herself. And Jesus matured, growing up in both body and spirit, blessed by both God and people. Here ends our reading. God has a message for us. So let us pray for openness of heart and be attentive to our still speaking God. Thanksgiving 2008 is over. And the talk about Turkey and friendship and love, Thanksgiving, have now changed to rush to Walmart and Christmas trimmings that we need to refresh. And we are already caught up in spirit. Christmas is coming. This is also the time of year when just everybody joins in to savor the aroma of being with family, buying Christmas trees, and shop till they drop. Planning, why? Why are they doing this? Why are you going so much out of your way to make this a good Christmas? I know you're not doing it for yourself. I know you're doing it because you want to bring love and cheer for those around you. Those with you in the household, those with you in your circles of friendship, those who you socialize with. That's why we're doing it. We want to enjoy great times with next of kin, even with strangers. And even for those who have to work, it is still Christmas. Now, some think that the holiday spirit originated from the birth of Christ. It's not really fully true. Some think that the holiday spirit originated purely out of our Christianity. Few people realize that the origins of Christmas were pagan and celebrated in Europe centuries before anyone there had even heard the name Jesus Christ. So, with the coming and the passing of time, the early Christians, first centuries after Christ, used the same occasion to take advantage of the festivities because it was a public holiday after all. And so they made it their own to choose the same date to celebrate their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. So no one really knows what day Jesus Christ was born. Even people who study the Bible intensely, professors in universities and theologians, they don't even speculate about that because it is generally known that that date just escaped us. Nobody was there to write down the date. We know approximately when it happened. So from the biblical description, most historians believe that the birth of Jesus probably occurred in September, approximately 6 months after Passover. But there is one thing that they agree about, and that is that they all say it is very unlikely that Jesus was born in December after all. Why? Well, this is how it works. Since the Bible records shepherds tending their sheep in the fields on that night, well, that's all. And that was enough for us to realize that it couldn't have been in December. Quite unlikely, because in Israel, in Palestine, it is midwinter, bitterly cold. And even in those days, they were not out on the fields at night. Couldn't be that. Must have been time when it was safe to let your sheep graze outside. So what is the answer then? How can we be sure? Well, the answer is obvious. It lies in the pagan origins of Christmas. You see, ancient Babylon celebrated the feast of the son of Isis. And that's, in our translation, the goddess of nature in those days. They celebrate that feast on December 25th. And we have the records of that feast. It goes with raucous partying, gluttonous eating and drinking, and gift-giving were traditions of that feast. And this went on till the year 350 after Christ. And then Pope Julius I declared that Christ's birth would from then on be celebrated on December 25. Now the historians wondered about that. Why did Pope Julius I decide that? Well, there is little doubt that he was trying to make it as painless as possible for pagan Romans, who remained a bit majority at that time, to convert to Christianity. In other words, let them keep their feasts, and we will tell them about Christ. And who knows, if we don't take their feast away, and they meet Christ, then it's well worth having all the feasts. I didn't make this up. This is the truth. He thought that the new religion, Christianity, would go down a little bit easier. So as Christians, you and I must understand that we, like the early Christians, that we have a choice. They had a choice, and we have a choice. Shall we celebrate Christ or serve the son of Isis, the Babylonian idol? Well, ask me, what do I prefer? I love Christmas. I do. I love the feast of the Babylonians, whatever. It's out there, you know, when you go shopping, wherever you are. It's fun. It does us no harm as long as we do it not bigger than our pocketbooks can afford, and as long as we don't put all of it on a credit card and we can't pay it in February, of course we're going to keep the festivities. But, and this is where being a Christian comes in, we choose to light an Advent candle. We choose to celebrate Christ. For us, no matter what date it happened, the fact is that Christ came into the world to free us from sin and to reconnect us to God. The biblical story of Jesus as a kid, found in the temple, seated among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions, has great significance for all who are still searching for Christ. So you can understand why this search for Christ, in those days the name Christ wasn't used, it was simply Jesus, Jesus, it was there. And his parents were looking for him. To be quite frank, they were pretty annoyed at that time. They had to search for a child. A child, 12 years old, but that was a dangerous time. And they were walking away at that time from Jerusalem back to their homes. And they were in the company of pilgrims, and that was the habit, because there were robbers and thieves on the road. It was dangerous to walk, so they didn't walk alone. And that's what the Bible says. They were walking with friends, with other pilgrims. They were seeking safety in numbers, because on the road back to their homes, they would have been robbed if they dared to walk alone. So it's not so funny that Jesus sort of slipped their attention. They thought, well, he's in the group, he's with his buddies. They're walking, and you know how children are. They run here, they run there, and they get some candies and stuff here and there, and wherever there's coffee being made, they see that they're there and see if they can get a cookie, because it's a big group of people walking back, and they rest. And so the parents didn't really care for the first day, but then something said to them, you seen Jesus? Haven't seen him for a full day now. And I can imagine that Maria said, oh my God, the kid is missing. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine? Not so much anger, but fear had struck. Did he wander off just a little way, and did the robbers and the murderous thieves, did they possibly get him? So they went back, all the way back, alone this time. They didn't have other people who could walk them back to the temple. That was a dangerous trip. And that's why the Bible says they were pretty, pretty annoyed. And I guess, if the child Jesus is missing from your life and from mine, if we had celebrated Isis instead of Christmas in the years gone by, we may just have discovered that the kid is no longer with us. So maybe, like Joseph and Maria did according to the Bible, we may have to do the same thing as we journey to Christmas. We need to follow the example of Joseph and Maria, because they, after the Passover celebration, had their search. And they only found him after so much drama. Part of the Christmas story tells that wise men that came searching for Jesus beautiful in the story. Wise men. Those days they didn't mention women. They meant men and women, but they just said men. Wise men came searching for Jesus. And now we have bumper stickers. Maybe you've seen them. Wise men still seek him. Isn't that great? In our modern jargon, wise men still seek him. Indeed they do. Of course they do. Seeking Jesus is certainly close to the heart of the Christian faith. We believe that in and through Jesus Christ, countless millions of people have found the way to the heart of God. And many of us here in church will not hesitate to say that our lives have changed dramatically and positively since the day when we first found and accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. I don't know how old I'll ever get, but as long as I have a sane mind, I will remember the 16th of December 1953. Because that was the evening in Pretoria, South Africa, where I dedicated my life to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I shall grow old, but I shall never forget it. Do you have a date? I hope so. But honor the date, but not the date. Honor the one who gave it to you. God gave it to you. That is the day when the blocked channel was opened. And when you realized anew that I have to respond to the love of God in my life. Now you'll say, I don't have a date. I know when it happened. It was maybe during high school at the youth camp or wherever. Our stories differ. And it makes no difference. The fact is that there comes a time in the life of everyone where they reach the crossroads of life. And why they ever only have to turn to God, knowing that the other choice is to live without God. And you made the choice, all of you, or you wouldn't be in this church today. Your life and my life changed dramatically in a positive way when we first recognized our Savior. And from then, it was all joyous traveling. But there may be people in this church or listening over the internet, there may be, who have a problem. Because they say, what is he talking about? Is he a religious lunatic? I didn't have any experiences like that. Friend, without the experience of God in your life, you are bankrupt. And you will remain bankrupt until you die. Jesus Christ is obviously missing in the lives of many people who call themselves Christians in our time. Oh yes, they belong to churches all over here and across the world. They participate in all the activities. They support every function. And they carry the name, I'm a Christian. However, when it comes time to demonstrate the presence of Christ in their faith and in their lives, Jesus is nowhere to be found. That comes as a personal question. Need I search for Jesus this Christmas for the first time in my life? may be true. May it be a wake-up call for me to rekindle my faith and to renew my faith and to begin the journey anew. Might be, God knows and you know. You don't have to tell me, tell God. I believe that without faith anchored in God, there is only emptiness where there should be meaning and purpose. While the cash registers are clinging, while people spend billions on Christmas gifts and feasts, the peace of Christ, the peace of Christ, the peace of Christ is still eluding many of those doing their shopping for Christmas. My brother and sister, my friend in Christ, no credit card can ever fix the emptiness of a life without faith. I'm not expecting you to answer out loud, but is Christ present in your life? As I have to ask myself every day, when I have to make a decision, when it's tough to decide, I've learned to do one thing. First to pray, let God's will be my will. Let God's will be done, and fear not the consequences. Where shall we find Him? Where shall we find Him? And I think this is where you expect me to say, come to Cocoa Beach Community Church and you will find Him in the sanctuary. No, friend, God is not that narrow. God is not that sectarian. God is everywhere. If you see God, you will find Him in a million places. Some people found God for the first time in their lives in the beauty of nature. Somewhere in a happening, maybe in a time of grief or difficulty, maybe in a time of exuberant joy. But we have discovered that you can pray anywhere. From a sickbed, while bicycling as a young person, whatever your activity, God is to be found. He's not hiding. He just wants you to listen for His voice. And then you will find Him and you will never doubt it again. But some people do find Him in churches like this one. I have absolute witness that God has been faithful to the Cocoa Beach Community Church for 70 years. And today we honor God and thank God for predecessors to this pulpit who stood here and who brought the message of salvation, the message of hope. I've seen people in the short 7 years that I've been here changing their lives and their ways and turning to Christ. Some for the first time, some for the so manyth time. And that is the test. Is this a sanctuary or is this a concert hall? Because when it's a sanctuary, when we seek God's presence in earnestness, then Christ shall be found. Then people will come from all over and they will fill these pews. And they will say, like the Greeks of many years ago, Sir, we would see Jesus. And we shall reach out to them. And we shall embrace them in love. And we shall do whatever we can. Because that's why those who came before us gave their all to make this a sanctuary. This is what it should be. Talking about finding God everywhere. I can assure you, there are few veterans sitting here They spoke recently, and amazing to hear what some of you have been through during wars of the past years, wars in your lifetime. I know that Jack Dibble told me one morning at the door, he said, "There are no atheists in foxholes." I heard it from him the first time, and then I realized how true it is. Many of the soldiers, even now as we speak, are looking over the barrel of a gun, are facing extreme danger, and with the sure knowledge that they may never see their parents again, that they may never have the joy of being with family again or celebrating a Christmas in America, are making decisions for Christ. Because there can be no atheists in foxholes. There can be no atheists when there is an emptiness in an atheist's heart seeking to be found by God. I had but one experience of this kind in my life. It happened in the early 70s with the Bush War between Angola and Namibia, when Castro sent his thousands of communist soldiers to fight on Angola's side. And in those days, it was my privilege to broadcast a week sermon, a 1 hour sermon every Monday evening to that part of the nation over shortwave. And we received thousands and thousands of letters of soldiers facing death. And some of them did. I was once there on invitation of the South African government, and they flew me up to the Caprivi Strip to talk to people about what's happening in those days and to speak to people about Christ. They wanted the soldiers to see the guy that they're listening to every Monday evening. And we were traveling in an army vehicle when the first reports came in that there was a terrible, terrible happening. A Russian-made bomb exploded right over a barracks, and about two dozen young men, there were no women in the army in those days, about two dozen of them died instantly. And when we got to the place, they were still cleaning up the mess there was. And the chaplain came to me. They had several chaplains there. And they said, "You'll have to come another time to talk about the radio work, but we need you now. Can you delay your departure? Because the soldiers want to talk. They want to talk about Jesus Christ. They were touched by what happened. They saw their mates die just the night before. And for 3 days and nights, if I remember correctly, they were queuing up, waiting to speak to one or the chaplains or me about their urgent need to be connected, to be reconnected to God." And I saw young lives being touched and changed. We just hope that when every war is over, when they come back broken in their mind and in their spirit after the sacrifice they made for our nation, that they will be able to seek and find their peace in the assurance that they belong to God and they need not fear. Many people find God during times of uncertainty and great stress, great heartache, great concern. And that's understandable. It's understandable that when crisis comes, that we need a Savior. We need an arm to lean on. We need some sand that will not crumble under our feet. And that includes you, and it includes me, it includes all of us, that there comes a time when friendly words will no longer soothe our burning hearts. That is the question that's answered with one small little candle. Advent is coming. A big happening is coming. Finally, it will culminate in a white light, a white candle, when we light the Christ candle on Christmas Eve, and with that we shall sing Silent Night, Holy Night. Our Savior is born. Have you heard about the discovery made in a nursery for infants? The caregivers often felt so helpless when most of them would cry at the same time. So the nursery workers found out that if they put a certain tape recording on and play it, it seems to have a soothing effect of the infants. And this is the real truth. You can look it up on the internet. Before long, they discovered that the kids, the babies, the infants, stopped crying and they calmed down. And do you know what that recording was? The medical people were clever enough to record the sound of a mother's heartbeat. Just the throb of the mother's heart. And apparently that's what they concluded. The infant has some memory of life before birth. And the calming and reassuring effect of that heartbeat brings peace into those young infants' lives. Wow. We are so close to the heart of God when we are in worship. May we hear the heartbeat of God today in this sanctuary. Are you searching for a Savior? Deciding to bring Christ into your life, also called a renewal of faith, will make all the difference. God has promised that if with all our hearts we truly seek Him, we shall surely find Him. It's not my promise, it's God's promise. Listen how the words of Jesus were recorded by Matthew in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. These are the words that Matthew used to remember Jesus Christ's invitation by. So there's only one question left. Tell me, are you hearing your name today? Let us pray. Loving God, in this season of waiting and watching, we look to your coming to us once again. You come in the sound of silence and in the laughter of friends. You come in the darkened night by bringing joy to a world without expectation. Sometimes we feel burdened down with our own sorrows and preoccupations, and we miss your coming. Therefore, we now pray that you might break into our confusion and lighten our way. We pray this day, not only for ourselves, but for those who struggle with illness, for those who are grieving, for those who face difficult decisions. And we ask that you might touch the lives of those we name in our hearts here in church today and renew their faith and hope. We pray for the poor and the oppressed, for the unemployed and the homeless, and for all who remember and care for them. We pray for peace in the world and for the unity of all your people. We pray for ourselves, for the forgiveness of our shortcomings, and for the grace of the Holy Spirit to make changes in our lives where it is needed. This Advent season is a time when your light radiates into our darkness. Help us, O God, to realize that in your light we are all connected to one another. Help us to use that light to guide others and keep them from danger. Keep us from growing weary of waiting for your love and light, lest we miss your coming into our lives and into our world. We know neither the day nor the hour of your coming, and we seek the hope and good news that wait to be born in our hearts. Amen.